5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hey, if you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were guys, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more.
We talked a lot about CJ. We'll hear from him shortly on his play yesterday. But before we do that, let's talk to Christian. He wants to talk about the game. What's up, Christian?
Hey, guys. First time calling here. I'm truly really not excited about next year and the Houston Texans. I think it's going to be the exact same as it has been in the last 3 years. Maybe win the division, go to the playoffs, win round one, and then round two, do what we've always done. I don't think the draft class will do anything for us to really change it. I think the only way we can have a truly exciting offseason is if we get Cliff Kingsbury or Mike McDaniel as an OC. I think that's the only way to truly unlock Stroud. And how come no one is talking about Ben Johnson, his QB coach, who's been his QB coach since high school? Because all I've seen from rookie year till now is he's only gotten worse. Yet Ben Johnson's name's never been brought up about a change with him and changing Stroud's fundamentals. I'll hang up and listen.
I think he means Gerard Johnson.
Yes.
The quarterback coach. As far as a coordinator, look, Mike McDaniel's interviewing for head coaching jobs. Of course, there's no guarantee he'll get hired. And then at that point, maybe you can bring, he's also interviewing for OC jobs and head coaching jobs at the same time. So maybe you call him in. Of course, the D'Amico San Francisco connection is there. As far as Cliff Kingsbury is concerned, it feels like for a year, things will go well, and then you'd have to suffer through a bad year, and then you have to fire Cliff. That feels like how it goes with Cliff Kingsbury. You do get the year, and you got the Jane Daniels jump in year. Well, jump, it was his rookie year. And then year two, partly because of Daniels' injuries and other things, it didn't work out well with the Commanders. So it feels like Cliff Kingsbury hire would be a thing that'd be great for 2026, and then you'd be suffering through 2027. And now you'd have to replace him again. They're on a bit, as he mentioned, 3 years of the same stuff. It was exciting year one. You accepted the year two because, look, the OC was bad. We're going to change the OC. The offensive line was bad. Tank got hurt. All those things you can convince yourself.
You also only lost by eight.
Yeah, you lost to the future AFC champions thing they always do, and they never lose in the division round, and you always do. So you could always convince yourself, and the refs screwed you, the Chiefs referee situation. You can always point to things, but then it happens again in year three, and now you've plateaued. And what is going to get you over the hump? The quarterback is supposed to be that guy. He was a detriment this year, and he took responsibility for it. Here is CJ Stroud on his play and acknowledging he was a problem.
I look back at the season and I can't just be anything but grateful for the teammates I have, the coaches that I have, you know, the organizations, the city of Houston, the fans, and I just Now I look back and I just feel like I let people down, and you know, not happy with that, and you know, it hurts, and I'm not, you know, naive to it. You know, I didn't play my best this year, but I'm gonna, you know, respond. I'm gonna, you know, keep my chest up, you know, my chin up high, and I'm gonna just keep battling for, you know, God before me, who can be against me, and I'm just gonna rely on that. But yeah, I think, you know, even today, you know, just our team doing great, you know, our defense, you know, getting stops, you know, and I just being careless with the football, I gotta, you know, get that fixed, and something that I know I can, so I'm gonna get that done.
The careless stuff was the most infuriating, but he also just wasn't good when he wasn't throwing it to the other team. Like the Carlton Davis first pick, I don't know what he was doing. Of course, the Marcus Jones pick six. Those are just decisions you cannot make. But the reason he threw the second pick to Carlton Davis is because he was inaccurate, which has been a problem. He had the nice throw on the out route, speed out to Christian Kirk for a touchdown to put him up 10-7, and then they brought Christian Kirk in motion when they're in the red zone again, and he missed inside. The ball was wobbly, and Marcus Jones broke on it and wound up forcing them to kick a field goal. So I don't know how he fixes his accuracy, which is what he thrived with in year one. If he's not going to be an accurate quarterback, he's got no shot. He did run like a little bit. Maybe there was one play when he picked up a first down. It might have been on their either on the Woody Marks fumble drive or the drive where they kicked the field goal coming out of the half. But for the most part, he's going to stay in that pocket and he has to deliver. So the carelessness, yes, you can fix. I would assume you were once an accurate quarterback. You could become one again, but that needs to be figured out. He is not great on throws outside the numbers. That was a strength in year one. It's no longer that. So it's more than just, hey, if I take care of the football, I'll be fine. Maybe Gerard Johnson's a problem. I don't know when it comes to mechanics and all that stuff. But CJ, his skill set is one where he can't be a guy who misses on the throws he misses. And he does it too often.
Yeah, he has to be an accurate quarterback.
Yeah, if he's not going to do that, he's got no shot.
Yeah.
And he wasn't to the degree he needs to be a guy who takes the Texans past the level they are now.
And maybe better O-line. Gets him there, like feels more comfortable in the pocket, has more time to stand to deliver. But even then, I mean,
I don't know. I mean,
there's a lot of times he had set feet
and he didn't. I don't know if the O-line, he's been hit too much. It's always a concern. And until he feels comfortable behind an O-line, we're going to get these days where he just is inaccurate. But how do the Texans move forward? Because until Nick Caserio can find a way to identify O-linemen,
yeah,
then it's going to be a problem.
Yeah, they've tried to get better offensive line in there.
They have not found a
way. Ursary's the only like hit. Just he started an entire season and was not an abject disaster.
Yeah,
so that's like the step in the right.
Can
direction.
They even just get the average?
Yeah,
like can what happened against the Steelers as far as their run game not be an outlier? Not be, oh, look at that, look what they did. Can that be something we expect going into games?
Yeah.
When that happens, then maybe the conversations about what CJ is as a quarterback, because you can't even really be a game manager, which is what you wanted him to be yesterday, if your offensive line can't run block. There's you got to be someone who can win with the quarterback or win because of the quarterback if you can't run the football, and that's been a problem all year. So they got problems, and can that get fixed in one off season? They couldn't fix the offensive line this past offseason. It got better, but they didn't fix it.
They didn't really fix.
What did they fix? Like, they won more games than they did last year, but their defense was historically good. But when it all comes out in the wash, when your defense is great, but your offense is subpar.
I guess they got. Did they get better at running back? They got a future at running back.
I mean, Woody Marks is a fine player. Yeah. But you need another back.
I was going to say, he's more of like a 1B, you know?
Yeah, I mean, he's not a star.
Yeah.
I mean, now you don't need a star back, but is he better than Kyren Williams with the Rams?
Like, you got...
Is he better than DeAndre Swift, all the guys who are in the playoffs in the same round?
You got better at running back, but you still need to improve there.
Yeah, I mean, if you go... Like,
maybe receiver? Did they get...
I mean, Jayden Higgins made some plays yesterday, the ones he could, and... Who knows what Noel would be?
Yeah.
You would hope.
The Iowa State guys developed. I wouldn't say they, like...
Yeah, no one really broke out. Yeah. You didn't have a Tank Dell like season from anyone.
Oh, Tank Dell's coming back.
I saw that. The question will be, what will Tank Dell be? That's a question for a lot of the Texans offense. What will they be? Whether it be injury or just performance, depending on how this season went.
Does Braxton Berrios play more than Tank Dell next year?
Braxton Berrios should not be back on the roster. He's a fine special teamer. At least he used to be. I'm not sure what juice you're getting out of him with special teams when you have Jalen Noel manning that spot anyway. I would hope not. He's a guy who spends 1 year in a place, and it's fine. Maybe you bring him back for a training camp and he doesn't make it to the regular season roster. Who knows? But you have Nico. You hope Tank Dell is somewhat what he was. And, of course, you have your two. Well, they won't be rookies now, but they're rookies now. And then maybe a fifth spot, the Hutchinson. And that should be the bulk of your wide receiver core, or all of your wide receiver core outside of guys on the practice squad or inactive guys on game day. So are they at a plateau? Yes. Is D'Amico Ryans a guy you can hope gets them past this point? He's early in his coaching career, so that's not out of the realm of possibility. And he's with a ownership group that's going to be very patient with him. He has no worries. He's not in a Sean McDermott situation where you have a clearly great quarterback and you can't get over the hump. That's why he got fired today. If you missed it, Sean McDermott fired by the Bills. Brandon Bean somehow got promoted. Everyone will talk about how that roster isn't the best, and he's made some decisions that have not helped Josh Allen elevate that team past the divisional round. But he won. I don't know if there is a back and forth as far as a power struggle, but he won. Brandon Bean did a promotion, at least a name. I don't know if he's getting more money, but the title, he gets a promotion.
I don't know why. Like, I'm looking for like some sort of like excuse here, but is it just so they can do the coaching search relatively fast, and they can just fire Brandon Bean like after the draft?
After the draft, I don't know. Then why did you give him the promotion then? If you're going to fire him after the draft.
That's a good point. Yeah. No, I'm just trying to come up with a reason. Why does this man have a job?
Yeah, so why aren't you cleaning them both out? They're tied together, right? Apparently not.
He little-fingered his way. Hey, I'm the one who drafted Josh Allen.
Yeah, and you also drafted Keon Coleman. You haven't hit on a receiver since he's been there. I guess you look at the roster, you know, propelled by Josh Allen, and think the coaching's a problem. I don't know, man. You're stuck signing Brandon Cooks off the street, and the coach is the problem. Mecole Hardman's catching touchdown passes in the year of our Lord 2026.
Yes. If you're in the situation where you have to sign Mecole Hardman to your team during the playoffs, I'm sorry. You got to go.
That's Sean McDermott's fault?
You got to go.
Yeah. Okay. Fine. We'll see if Sean McDermott's out of a job for long as another former head coach is on the market. Two of them are off the market now. Kevin Stefanski, hired pretty quickly by the Falcons. And, of course, Harbaugh finally came to his agreement with the Giants. All right, we got a couple more segments for you guys to get in. If you want to join us, 713-780-3776. We'll come back with more on the Texans. We'll hear from, Troy Aikman. We were talking about the development or lack thereof of C.J. Stroud. Well, Troy, most recently helping a NFL team get a general manager, was back to his day job, and he has some thoughts on the lack of development for C.J. Stroud. We'll get to that when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
Show continues. Now back to the Huntington Bank Studios with Del Olalea.
Okay, so throughout the game, Troy Aikman got more and more frustrated by the play of the quarterback, as you might imagine. A little honesty from Troy. He mentioned, hey, if it rains, I'm done. That's what he was as a player. If it rained, I had no shot. You get 30 years removed, you can certainly talk about it in that
Aikman's
way.
Aikman's the greatest. he's the best.
He's like, look, guys, you know my career. If I was out there throwing the ball in the rain, I was screwed.
The hardest part of my career was that little hole at the top of the Cowboys Stadium that I played in. I hated that little hole that reminded me that the outside was there.
Yeah, God looking down on me, whatever.
Thank God I didn't get drafted to the outside.
The guy played the NFC East. And hey, this pays to have a running game, as we found out yesterday.
Yeah,
you can turn around and give the ball to Emmitt Smith, and you're pretty good.
I also do like though that he does get obviously increasingly frustrated. It's like what Peyton Manning does on the Manning Cast, except this is on the main broadcast for Troy Aikman. Just like Joe, I don't know, man. I don't know what he's looking at here.
Yeah, I don't know what Troy's unfiltered thoughts would be, but he has some thoughts on the Texans and mostly the development of the quarterback. And he pointed to something that's, been talked about here, and it's been used to project what CJ will be. And now we're multiple years removed from it, that rookie year, and Troy Aikman talked about that.
History, but I will say this, Joe. DeMeco Ryans and Nick Caserio, they've got some tough decisions they've got to make about this team on the offensive side of the ball. You know, they replaced Bobby Slowick last year after his 2 years as the offensive coordinator. C.J. Stroud has been chasing his rookie success for the last 2 years. He's not been the same player. We've not seen the development from him. There's a reason for that, and it has to be addressed.
Here's Bryant. Passes too high and off his hands. It's fourth down. Yeah, you bring up a great point. I mean, his rookie year was as good a rookie year as you can have in the NFL in 2023. But the last 2 years have been okay, not great. And here tonight, now, if his hands hurt, that's one thing. But he missed some open throws here tonight, turned the ball over a lot again, which is what he did in Pittsburgh. This was not a good performance.
Well, 7 turnovers in the 2 playoff games. So your most important games of the year, you just can't overcome that kind of quarterback play.
They shut this one down.
You can't wash that away. And the turnovers through 2 games and the fact that if we're still hanging on to what happened his rookie year. You know, Carson Wentz had a great second year. He got hurt and it was diminishing returns ever since. So to continue to talk about what happened when he was a rookie, are we done with that? Are we done projecting or placing C.J. Stroud in a spot where he can be considered a top 10 quarterback just because two seasons ago he played the way he did?
Yeah.
We actually have more evidence that he's not that guy than he is that guy.
I think of what was it before the Pittsburgh game where we're talking about how like the general consensus on CJ Stroud is like, yeah, he's a good quarterback, kind of gets held back by the offense. And it's like he had the 2 games that just give all that goodwill from like the national media, like not really examining too hard what's mm-hmm. going on, just like the general idea of what the team is. And it's like now I feel like going into next season, it's like, no, you're the 7 turnovers and 2 playoff games guy.
Yeah, even Dan Orlovsky said this morning that 31 other quarterbacks would have won that game.
That's aggressive.
Was the headline or caption. I didn't on Get Up as they clipped it. I didn't actually hear it. But the caption was, at Dan Orlovsky. I guess he got some thoughts together instead of complaining about Josh Allen not making it past the divisional round. Thankfully, he was able to clear his mind and talk about a different game. He said that 31 other quarterbacks would have won. You know what? That is strong because I do believe Geno Smith could have turned the ball over a lot yesterday too. But I only have...
Does Dylan Gabriel win that game?
Well, he didn't mention him. He just said 31 others.
Okay.
Shador Sanders, I guess. Sanders. I don't know.
Like, we're just.
That is a lot to say.
Quinn Ewers.
But the only evidence. Quinn throws a pick. He might throw 6 more. That's just his vibes. But I will say, only have evidence of CJ being terrible. And can I predict that another guy would be just as bad in the first half?
Yeah.
It's very hard to do that.
I don't think he's the worst quarterback in the league.
But it's very hard for me to say that another guy would have been as bad yesterday as he was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Spencer Rattler. We win that game if Spencer Rattler plays.
I mean, if Spencer Rattler could reel it in and not throw the ball to Marcus Jones like he did, yeah, yeah. Name a guy who, with some reasonable certainty, you could say he wouldn't make the Marcus Jones play, then I would lean to that guy. Okay, so that guy would win the game.
Will Levis is the only one I can eliminate.
Will Levis might have been parallel to the ground when he made the throw, as opposed to CJ.
Would have thrown more.
Because you can't pull him. So he would have thrown more interceptions.
You lose him for...
God forbid you lose Will Levis.
I think he had season-ending shoulder surgery. I think that's where you feel the rookie year for CJ Stroud the most is he had four interceptions in the first half, and it's like, well, you can't bench this guy. It's like, well, I kind of think you can bench this guy. Like, at this point, like you said, we're so far removed from the 2023 regular season that it's like we need to be viewing this guy, the CJ Stroud, as he's playing on the last year of his contract next year, and we'll see. We'll see if we want to commit past that.
Here's the quote. If you're Houston, you win that game with 31 other quarterbacks. Does he mean of all time? Like if I ran Dan Marino out there in his prime, they win the game?
They 100% no doubt in my mind. Dan Marino, maybe not.
He's 1997.
Like
Not the guy who does the commercial about being washed and get hit. Not the guy who does those commercials. No. But 1997, at the end of his career, Dan Marino, do they
when
win that game?
He lost 63-6 or whatever.
To the Jags in his career.
That guy wins this game.
Well, to be fair to him, the week before, he beat Seattle in a come-from-behind playoff win. So, yes, that Dan Marino even wins the game. I do think he meant 31 other quarterbacks. Like the 31 other starting quarterbacks. But it would be funny. Yeah. Like, hey, I just
Brady wins that game.
31 others.
Montana wins that game.
Yeah. Steve Young. All those guys that went. Thanks, Dan. Thanks for going out on the limb.
You could say that after, like, the Chicago game. Be like, hey, listen.
Yes.
Tom Brady wins that game for the Bears. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, we have not talked a lot about anything else because why would we? But as far as the rest of the league, I believe only Stafford. Maybe Darnold, but only Stafford didn't turn the ball over as far as quarterbacks were concerned. I think maybe Darnold, but
Darnold might have done it in the second half when
you stopped
America stopped watching.
Yeah,
America went on with their Saturday nights.
Thanks, Brock Purdy.
I mean, honestly, thank you, Brock Purdy.
Yeah, for giving us an out.
Instead of having to sit through that game, you made it so obvious. Or not really Purdy made it obvious, Niners.
Yeah, the Niners as a whole.
Once they ran the speed option to the short side corner with Juszczyk
being the decision maker on the pitch, it was over.
That was like, all right, pit time.
Yeah, and, you know, another young quarterback threw a lot of picks, one Caleb Williams, but just a different vibe on how that game went.
Stop taking those hits, young man. You'll be a great player one day. Come here. Look.
That's a receipt that CJ won't be able to escape. And so as well is the, hey, let me Instagram story my top five and put me at number three of as far as quarterbacks after his rookie year. Things that people kept, he will never be able to escape them.
Also, Kim Kardashian's daughter dressing up as a different celebrity.
Yeah, I did see that come across.
That like looks like
Kim Kardashian, Northwest, dressing up as CJ and looking like CJ.
I think it was the streamer. The streamer that has the same haircut that CJ has.
Was it Kai Cenat?
Yeah, yeah.
Who's now cut his hair. He doesn't look like CJ anymore. He never did, actually, but the
good
hair.
Good choice.
Yes. But he had cut it before. But prescient move by Kai Cenat.
I can't be attached to this.
just in case.
Grock is going to put me in the Texans uniform.
Just in case. So, yeah, CJ is memeable. He was one of the internet's main characters yesterday. It's never, ever good to be the internet's main character because there's no one out there looking to accentuate the positives.
Just in yesterday's game, there was no positive to be like at a certain point, I was kind of bummed because it's like, it does make the rest of the week and probably the rest of the offseason a little less interesting because there's not even like the other side to have on CJ Stroud.
Yeah, what other side is there?
It's just.
His most. Like the guys who were jumping online to defend him throughout last week before the game, what do you do now? What fight are you in? How do you defend him after what happened?
Yeah, I mean, really the only defense is just like, hey, you got to give him another chance. You know, like you just...
I still believe.
Yeah, but that's not really...
It's not really a defense. It's just, hey, what else am I going to say?
Also, like, how do you still believe?
You say, hey, other young quarterbacks have struggled. He's still got it in him.
Okay.
And then you hope and pray that you're right. You've taken a stance. Now you hope and pray that you're right. David, you want to talk Texans and Stroud? Hold on. We'll go to break, David, and we'll get to you. We got a couple more segments. So if you want to talk about the Texans, welcome. I mean, we got a national title game that we probably won't talk about very much. It's just a product of having that game happen yesterday. That'll be our focus. And we'll get to some other things tomorrow. But today is a day to have an existential crisis about your team. Because when your quarterback plays as poorly as he did, despite what your defense is capable of, you got no shot to get to where you want to go. And maybe, I hope the story has been written, but right now it feels kind of bleak when it comes to the Texans' chances with CJ at quarterback. We'll talk to David and you when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
All right, let's get to David. He wants to talk about Stroud and the game. What's up, David?
Hey, man. Enjoy the show. Hey, I've seen this since he entered the league. He looks like a deer in headlights, but I don't know if he's really regardless. He looks like he just doesn't get involved with what his OC says. But is there a route where, so every NFL coach has a quarterback whisperer. Is there one out there that they can hire to help guide him through this?
Well, the name that was very popular early in the year because of his connection with D'Amico in San Francisco and what he did for a quarterback people didn't respect very much is Mike McDaniel. What he did with Tua, people believe that can be translated to a guy like Stroud. Now, I will say, and of course, these other guys weren't his starting quarterback, but Mike McDaniel, with quarterbacks not named Tua, produced awful numbers offensively in Miami. Of course, you had guys, I'm trying to think of a Skylar Thompson, think of a K-State quarterback, Skylar Thompson, Teddy Bridgewater, of course, Quinn Ewers this year, Zach Wilson had some Mike White in there. So not exactly names of guys you think, hey, in a pinch, he can win us a game. But the numbers have been terrible. So Mike McDaniel, if he is someone who doesn't get a head coaching job, he is interviewing for those, and he decides he wants to work for D'Amico, he would have to prove that while Tua is considered a Mike McDaniel merchant, so far all we know of Mike McDaniel is he's a Tua merchant. Of course, as I said, the guys who were backing up Tua, not that great. So maybe Stroud under Mike McDaniel would have better results. Look, Mike McDaniel worked with a bad offensive line in Miami. And at some points, they were a pretty good rushing team, and other points, they weren't. So it's hit or miss there. But you know he's a pretty good schemer, play designer. The question is, as it apparently will always be, does he work well? Can he work well with a guy like CJ, who's certainly, despite his off, or at least on-field demeanor when things are going well, apparently has a strong personality in terms of how he feels about guys and whether they know ball. That's the easiest way to say it. CJ has to believe you know ball before he will actually buy in.
Yeah. I would hire Mike McDaniel just with the like idea of like, can you get a run game going? Even less so than can you fit with the quarterback. It's just like, will we be able to run the ball if we hire you? If so, that is already a huge step in the direction because – like we said, like they are built like the classic, like, win with your defense, complimentary football kind of team, except that they just cannot run the football.
Correct.
They're, like, actually bad at it.
So Mike McDaniel was the 49ers run game coordinator before he became he was the OC, but didn't call plays. That was Shanahan's thing, but he was a run game coordinator as well. So he does have that experience building and running offense, designing run plays. And, of course, he's very creative in Miami doing that as well.
That would be my, like, that's, to me, if they hired him, like, that would be what I'm most excited about, is that it's like, oh, now you can't just be ball control Iowa in the NFL. Like, you can just do that. And more so than what it, like, can he get the most out of CJ Stroud? Like, can you make him workable? Like, can you just, like,
that's where we are.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he will not be hired. I know your opinion is one thing, but he would not be hired to make CJ Stroud someone who doesn't screw games up. His goal would be someone who, hey, let's get him back to what he was year one. Even if that's just an outlier, which it appears to be right now, he would not be looked at as a guy to turn CJ into a capable game manager. That would not be the directive.
On Sunday, you would have won if he was a capable game manager.
I know.
Just but that's all I need.
But in a league where your quarterback is going, well, he shouldn't, but he will, demand a certain amount of money, you were supposed to, I believe, develop him to a spot where the Texans feel at least comfortable giving him the $50-plus, $55 million a year, where at the moment, they won't have these questions, but I got real questions about, why do I want to pay him anything?
Yeah, no, I'm there too. I'm like, the future, I'm not like, CJ Stroud is the future. It's
yeah,
like,
I'm not
CJ
there.
Stroud, earn your way into being the future.
Yeah.
Or being part of the future.
He should not, at this point, be someone who's unquestioned. Like, he will start next year. This is not that conversation. Whether they should make any commitments beyond next year, should be a question, but they're going to give him the fifth-year option. But it should be a question they have to, at least a discussion.
Yeah, he's your starting quarterback. He's not your franchise quarterback.
Yeah.
He's your starter.
There it is. That's an appropriate way to put it. As of yesterday, he demoted himself from potential franchise quarterback to a guy who's your starter until maybe something better comes along, or he determines, or he plays well enough to elevate himself up to franchise, or confirms that you should be looking for a different guy.
Yeah. And
that is surprising considering what the belief was in him, even at the start of this year.
Yeah.
All right. We got a couple more calls. Steven, and I don't see your name, but we know you probably can't hear me. You're talking to the intern. We'll get to you guys when we come back. We got one more segment to go. You want to get in before we're done? Hey, Rich Eisen's up next. You can't call in to him. He's probably going to be talking about a lot about Josh Allen and Sean McDermott. So if you want to talk Texans, get in before we go. But before we even go to break, I want to talk about Monument Chevrolet. No problems with them. They've been in business for 50 years. They're in. They got their franchise. If you want a dealership that you consider a franchise type dealership where you don't have to worry about or have questions about, go to Monument Chevrolet. If you want that Chevy, a great one, they're the place to go. So all you got to do is go to the website and check out all they have to offer and then make your choice. They've got cars for everyone, whether you're looking for a truck or an EV vehicle, it's all there for you. And there are no hassles. Like, when you get on site, they're in Pasadena off of Bellway 8 and 225. The prices don't change. You're not going to be tricked. What you see on the website is what you get in person. And if you got a problem, talk to Jeff. He is your point man. If you ask for Jeff, if you're looking for a fantastic deal, any questions you have, he's the guy for you on site. And the car of the week this week is the Traverse. It's a mid-size SUV Chevy for your family. Like I said, they got cars for everyone. So if you are someone who is a family person and you want something that fits them, the Traverse is for you. And also, it's got a V6 engine, powers 5,000 pounds of towing capacity. So whether you're someone who has a family or you got to tow stuff, the Traverse is the car or vehicle you should be looking for. So find that Traverse you're looking for on the website, whatever the color is and the price point you want, it'll be there for you. And then you can go to Pasadena off of Bellway 8 and 225 and get the car of your dreams. That's Monument Chevrolet. Chevrolet, together let's drive.
ESPN 97.5.
The Del Ulalea Show continues. Now back to the Huntington Bank Studios with Del Ulalea.
All right, we got a couple more minutes before we throw it to Rich Eisen. Let's get to Ryan here. He wants to talk to some Stroud and Texans. What's up, Sean? Or excuse me, Ryan.
Hey, what's up, Deli Belly? What's going on, Mapers?
It's not my name.
Hey, yeah, I know. I like saying it anyway. So I more wanted to talk about what do you think their thinking was that drive in the fourth quarter when they punted, they got that really good punt, but I thought they should have went for it. The game was going to be over after that anyway if they punted. So what do you think their thought process was on that? I'll hang up a little bit.
So you mentioned that, and it caught a lot of people by surprise, and this is per ESPN research from DJ Bienema, covers the Texans for ESPN. That was the second time this century a team punted down two scores, anywhere from 9 to 16 points, in the final 5 minutes of a playoff game. Previously, it was the Panthers in Super Bowl 50. They punted down 14 points on 4th and 24 from their own 6-yard line with 2:08 left. DeMeco Ryans will never admit that he said, "We're done here.
I want to lose 28 to 16.
Well, that was the people pushing back saying, what does it matter how you lose? It's the last game of the season. Who cares if they put on another score?
It looks better. Looks better. All on the graphic.
I guess. And the graphic did pop up of what their margin of victory was in wild card rounds and then what happens in divisional rounds. That graphic did pop up. So if it happens again next year, maybe you're right, Sean. Maybe he just didn't want the graphic to be more gaudy than it actually was. I don't know what that was about. It was a down a distance that they were unlikely to convert on, but who cares? Try to convert it.
I know. I mean, when they sent out the punting, I was like, thank God.
You know, that was another thing. Hey, if you're giving up, I appreciate it. You've accepted your fate. I understand because I've accepted your fate pretty much since the Marcus Jones pick, I thought the game was over. So if you're going to accept your fate, hey, at least we're in line. Same line of thinking. Like, wrap this up.
This just makes the game go by faster.
Yeah, let's get to Rams-Bears. Look, if I got to sit through a couple minutes of Collinsworth vamping, fine, whatever. Let's pick it up. Let's run the clock and get out of here.
Yeah. No,
it was odd in the whole, hey, you try to win the game stuff, but if we're being realistic, maybe save CJ another hit.
Like, I didn't listen to the DeMeco Ryans post-game press conference.
Yeah, I don't even know.
Did someone ask him?
I did not hear.
Feel like that. The answer's self-evident.
Hey guys, you saw the game. That's his
you
answer.
You know why? If I was DeMeco Ryans, hey, DJ Bienema here with ESPN. Why'd you punt down 12 with like whatever 4 minutes left?
The punt came with just under 5 minutes ago.
Yeah. Okay. Man, you saw that game.
Yeah, it was 4th and 18.
You want to stay down the snow and rain longer?
CJ just took a sack. You know, we're just going to, even if we convert it, it's going to be a bunch more incompletions. Do you want to, and you know, the Patriots.
Head's cold.
The Patriots had to punt the ball back, so they got the ball back, and then he didn't punt with no time left. You know, that's the funny thing. Like, if you get the ball back and it's 4th and 4 on your 47 with 1:11 to go, oh, now you won't punt?
Well, because what was the. 4th and
4th and 18 they got sacked.
Yeah, 4th and 18. Like,
yeah, they're not getting that. Yeah,
and,
I know.
And it was on their own.
They were on their own 20. They're on their own. Let me see. Sacked own 21-yard line.
Yeah, they're on their own 21. They have to pick up 18 yards. Like, you don't want to see Stephon Diggs dance in the end zone against you. Come on.
Vrabel would tack another one on and make sure Stephon Diggs got another. Yeah, it could have happened. They did. Like the Patriots.
In the round to him, something.
Yeah, the Patriots, when they were running out the clock, because after it got to 28-16, the Texans punted, they ripped off a pretty good drive that killed some clock. They did throw the ball in 3rd and 10. I was like, what are you guys doing? You know, you could take another 40 seconds off this clock. We're like, doesn't matter how much time we take off the clock, they ain't coming back.
Yeah.
So they were throwing the football. So maybe they would have.
We run a player, they run a player.
Yeah, either way. Nothing's going to change about the final outcome. So maybe you're right. Maybe they would have gotten Stephon Diggs another touchdown or whatever. Yeah, you're 35-16. Yeah, as far as in the moment's worst, but in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah, no, because what will live on forever is that it was 28-16. It's pretty close considering. Their quarterback turned the ball over 5 times.
Yeah, maybe he didn't want to stack on more points against his defense.
Yeah. Yeah. Save the Save the record book. Because what? They only gave up 21.
21. Yeah, I don't know. Like, of course, its playoff numbers are different than regular season numbers. They lost out on best defense scoring-wise in football because of the Colts game. So I don't know why they punt it, but he did us all a favor.
Yeah. It's the biggest non-controversy.
He did his quarterback a favor. Quarterback probably would have just got hit or thrown another pick, whatever it was.
Yeah. Did you see that this morning they still, like, I don't know if they've
landed been resolved. Now.
Okay. I woke up this morning.
They were still either in the air or in New England.
They still had not yet reached home.
Yeah.
That, to me, is the, like, worst possible thing.
Well, if they're stuck on the tarmac, it's terrible. Like, the private jet is fine, whatever. But if they left their hotel and they were stuck on the tarmac, sucks. Yeah, like, if they could have gone back to the rooms or got word that, hey, don't come to the airport, you're not going to be able to fly out, that's one thing. But if they had to sit in that airplane for hours, that's tough. Yeah, they landed maybe a couple hours ago now. But if you missed it, yeah, the Texans were delayed in New England, like in Foxborough, wherever, like, they took off from because of weather issues. That's tough.
Yeah, no. I mean, again, just I would not wish that on, like, anyone.
No.
Because the flight's already bad.
Yeah, so you just got to sit in that airplane. Oh, everyone's staring at him. What's wrong with you?
I get that Aziz Alshire said all the right things.
Yeah, he has some empathy for his guy, yeah.
I don't want him looking at me, though. Like, I don't want Kamari Lassiter sitting there.
Yeah, when the guys are getting up,
time to think,
picking up a snack, or going back to the bathroom, they eyeing you. Did he make eye contact with anyone?
No, I was going to say, he definitely had sunglasses on.
I'm sure he talked to people.
Headphones on.
But he wasn't jovial.
Noise canceling.
I bet you he didn't make no jokes. I bet you he didn't laugh once on that plane.
God, no one did. That's why it's terrible.
Like, if you're a defender and it sucks, you might make a joke with your guys about whatever, non-football stuff. CJ, he better not have laughed once. Not if a defensive player was around. We're done. And so are the Texans. CJ's not done, but he's got some questions to answer this offseason. Whatever leeway he had as far as, yeah, the surroundings are bad, that's done for. When Dan Orlovsky, known quarterback lover, goes on and says 31 other quarterbacks, and we believe he meant current NFL quarterbacks, not legends from the past, 31 other quarterbacks could have won that game, you know your reputation, at least for now, is mud. And he caught it everywhere, from Sean McCoy to the random Twitter fan to the guys on TV. So some soul searching for him and that entire organization as far as what they're going to do to get this offense in gear to match what their defense can do. Rich Eisen's up next. He's followed by Jeremy and Joe. Tough run for Joe yesterday. Hey, that's tough when you root for two teams and they both lose on the same day. All right, we'll talk more playoffs tomorrow, get to some of the other games, and of course, there's a national title game to discuss as well. We'll see how good I'm feeling tomorrow. Since we're done for the day, Sean, what does that mean?
I'm a great guy. I'm actually a great guy.
He did catch a touchdown pass and flexed how strong his hands were.
Would nobody want me to do this, is it?
Nope. Cardi B was there. She enjoyed it. Stick with her. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
ESPN 97.5.